New study just got released recently by the Public School Forum of North Carolina with some fairly disturbing numbers. We've talked about this before, but the problem is growing. A big gap in public school funding between the wealthiest counties and the state in the state and the poorest counties in the state. Orange County is the county of the 100 in North Carolina that spends the most money on students, but there are a lot of counties out there that spend significantly less than that, say the least, and that, of course, is having an impact on education quality as well. This is a report put out by the Public School Forum of North Carolina. We're joined now on the air by Keith Poston, who's the president and executive director of the Public School Forum, to talk about this study. Keith, thanks for joining us on the phone today.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting me on.
So what I just gave was the 5-second summary, but this is a fairly significant study that just got released with a lot of numbers. Give us the breakdown on the actual situation in terms of this significant funding gap that we're seeing.
Well, your summary was pretty spot on. We've been the Public School Forum has been involved in analyzing and studying school finance issues for more than 20 years. We've been involved in some policy changes and recommendations to better support our schools and make sure our students and teachers have what they need. This study is called the Local School Finance Study, and what it does is it looks at each county and sees how much they're spending in that county if you separate it from what the federal government provides, like mostly through Title I, and then also what the state of North Carolina provides. And that's really where the gaps show up. You mentioned Orange County being the highest spending system or county across North Carolina. But I would also caution to say we don't believe there's any school system, and that would include Orange County, Chapel Hill Carver schools in Orange County that are overfunded. But from a relative basis, Orange County, because of the high property values in the county, are able to raise a substantially more money for local, for property taxes that then flow into the school system.
And this is a situation.
This
is a situation that's getting worse too, right?
It is, and that's if you look at the last 20 years, only 2 years did the gap actually narrow at all, and it was really kind of a blip over the recession. But we've seen this number grow. Right now, the 10 highest spending counties spend about $3,000 per student on top of, again, federal and state money, compared to about $700 for the 10 lowest spending counties. So it's a gap of $2,300 per student. It's a very, very wide gap, and it's been growing. And what it does is where it shows up in the classroom are particularly in things like local salary supplements. Counties like Orange County, Wake County, Mecklenburg County, that's really the top ones, are able to provide additional salary and other resources to recruit teachers to work in their school systems, which in turn, puts our other counties at a disadvantage.
Speaking with Keith Poston again, Public School Forum of North Carolina, and this is one of the really striking numbers from this is you mentioned Orange County, or we both mentioned Orange County spending more than any other county in the state. But just to put that into perspective, is it the seven counties that spend the least? If you add them all up together, Orange County still spends a pretty decent amount more than those seven counties combined, right?
$300. It's still $300 less than Orange County spends. Or you can cut it so many different ways. Swain County is at the bottom, and Orange County spends 12 times more than Swain County. And again, we don't believe that our students' education should be dependent on where they happen to be born. I was talking earlier to someone. I said, that's the real education lottery in North Carolina. It's not a scratch off. It's actually being lucky enough to be born in a better circumstance, sort of winning the lottery that way, and being in a county. And the things where, can I mention the teacher supplement, but the other places where it shows up, which is sometimes kind of hard, I think, for folks to even see if they're living it in their own county, is the things that aren't there, the extra classes, the extra AP courses, sort of the enrichment classes, where there may be, one advanced math class offered at the high school, where and you go to a county like Chapel Harbor Schools or Wake County Schools, and there'll be a dozen different options for students. So they just don't have the same access to rigor, which we know all kids can do. But if they don't have the kinds of highly qualified, certified teachers that they need, if they don't have the right courses, and if they don't even have the basic supplies, you're not going to see the same results.
And you mentioned the advanced classes, extracurricular activities too, right? I mean, I remember my own high school experience. This wouldn't have ever shown up on a test score for me, but I got more out of those extracurricular opportunities in terms of what I went on to do with my life than most of the things that I learned in the classroom. And that's something that I had the opportunity to have because I went to a school that was decently funded.
And that's an excellent point. And the state of, the good news is, well, there's two things I should point out. The state of North Carolina recognizes this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And more than 15 years ago, this was something we were involved in. They created a low wealth supplemental fund, which gives extra money to those counties. We count this into the report. There's also something called small county supplemental funding, again, for the smallest counties. Again, the idea being there's less property to tax to generate funds. But even with those added funds coming from the state, the gap continues to grow. So there's a lot of discussion right now at the General Assembly. There's also the governor has a new commission, and they're all looking at this because I think there's a recognition you can't directly quantify, okay, for every dollar you spend here, you get this X. But I think it's common sense. It's sort of apparent that you've got two North Carolinas when it comes to funding. And honestly, most of the research will tell you that the areas that are being funded the least are actually the ones that need even more. Most of these are concentrated in eastern North Carolina. Probably your listeners who have heard you talk about those, sort of the I-95 East, really very different than the rest of the state. And so those folks actually need more resources, if anything, not less. And so we're actually going to have to look at if we're going to bring along the educational opportunities in the more rural parts of our state, we're going to have to do something different in terms of funding.
And you mentioned state-level solutions. This is something that really requires a state-level solution, right? Because, I mean, we talk about how in Orange County, we talk about, man, the property tax rate is particularly high here, but the 100 counties across the state, it's not a matter of county commissioners just don't care about public schools and the property tax rate is really low and they're not willing to raise it. The property tax rate is higher in a lot of those poorer counties, but the property tax value just isn't there to raise the funds, right?
Yeah, right. Matter of fact, Orange County is a bit of an outlier. We actually measure in our report something called effort, and we look at how much you're actually taxing and spending. Now, Orange County actually ranks fairly high. You're right. You have high property values, but the county also taxes fairly high. That's generally not the case. A Wake County and a Mecklenburg County, to use two of those, the tax rates here in Wake, where I am, or in Mecklenburg County, are about half of what they are in these poorer counties. I went down and spoke to the county commissioners in Greene County, which is one of the bottom seven counties, not long ago. And they were looking at the rankings and they were looking at their property taxes and saying, look, we're already twice what, we're putting ourselves at a disadvantage from an economic development perspective. What else can we do? And I said, you're doing everything you can do. And so the good news, I suppose, if there is some good news, is one, there's a focus on it. And this report, we hope, will get some more attention to focus on. The other is because North Carolina funds as a state the significant portion of public school funding. So about 65% of funding for public schools in North Carolina actually comes from the state of North Carolina. If we were to make changes, we actually have an opportunity to have a very big impact. I mean, if it was all sort of, dispersed and spread out across the state, and you really couldn't make one big statewide change, but with here, you could make a big impact. And so there's a lot of discussion about whether you should weight the funding more either per student or by district to see which districts need the most and which ones are have the ability to spend more themselves.
Speaking with Keith Poston again, Public School Forum of North Carolina, ncforum.org is their website if you want to find out more or get this full report that we're talking about. So let's talk about solutions on the state level. What are the recommendations? What should the General Assembly or state administrative officials be doing?
Well, and I mentioned at the top, you know, we don't believe that our schools are funded properly overall. Forget mm-hmm. about the gap between poor and, I mean, we rank nationally about 42nd in per pupil spending. So we need to increase our investment in public education overall. But our main recommendation is to make sure that we actually are incorporating both adequacy of funding and equity of funding in anything we do to change it, because right now the General Assembly is looking at changing our school funding formula, but they've, at least some of the leaders who are chairing the commission, right, the task force right now, said they're not going to focus on equity and adequacy. They're only going to focus on just a more efficient system that's more transparent. And we believe this urban-rural divide, this two North Carolinas, needs to be part of the discussion. So that's part of it. The other one is do no harm, you know, so to borrow from the Hippocratic Oath for our doctors. While we're looking for solutions to close the gap, let's not create new problems by taking money from these counties, you know, from the top counties, and trying to, you know, sort of give it away to try to close the gap. We need to elevate all of our school systems, and some kind of a hold harmless provision, if we make changes, would certainly help to make sure that we don't have any unintended consequences. This is a big deal if we go about changing our school funding formula, and so we can't just sort of rush into it without understanding the impact at the classroom.
Speaking with Keith Poston, and before we let you go, and again, if you're listening out there, you can get this full report plus more information at ncforum.org, which is their website. Before we let you go, what else do people need to know about this report, this issue, and what can people do if they want to get involved?
Well, there's one thing that issue that is definitely related to it. We don't talk a lot about it in the report, but we do talk about it in the release, is the infrastructure needs, because the buildings, the counties are primarily responsible for, school buildings and classrooms. There's been a lot of discussion, as your listeners know, about this class size mandate and whether it's creating new need for new buildings. Well, across the state, we have about an $8 billion need for new classroom construction and renovation. There are a couple of bills that are moving, one in the House, one in the Senate. They're basically identical, that would create a statewide bond referendum. Typically, the state has done, bond referendums every 10 years to help school buildings get built. The last time we did one was in 1996, 22 years ago. So, one thing certainly we would hope that folks would support any sort of a bond effort that they see coming out of the legislature, which would be on the ballot in November, and also just talk to your legislators, your state senators and state reps that you care about public education, that your public schools are a valuable, integral part of the community. About almost 90% of our students in North Carolina go to what you might consider a traditional brick-and-mortar public school. I mean, it is how almost all of our children are educated. And so we need to make sure that what we're providing to them prepares them for careers and for college, or, whatever path they go on.
ncforum.org is the website. Go there, get this full report, find out a lot more information there as well. Keith Poston, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.